Start the recording.
Okay, I just did.
Are we rolling?
Yes, we are.
Okay, alhamdulillah. This is Hamid Werder. It's year three. This is December 4th, 2019, and we're in the third of three sessions with year three. Alhamdulillah. So I'll begin with the Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ir rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amen. Allah, bring our hearts together in unity in service of your love, in service of your peace, in service of your healing for all of us and all those who we have an opportunity to connect with, inshallah. So the title of the work that we're doing here is Walking in the World as a Sufi. The focus this time in year three has been in group dynamics, unity building, and I'd love to start with good news, if you have any. You know, any kind of successes from the work we've done in our prior sessions, anything that you've accomplished, experienced, any blessings that have come your way from your efforts in regard to these teachings. And then the reason for that is the teachings really do come to life when we're in positive action. And I think that our school, named a healing school, has the original focus was, you know, we all need healing, and that's totally true. But the other side of it is we all also are aspiring to beautify and illuminate. And I think it's valuable for us sometimes to spend a few minutes on, well, what are we doing that's working? What's going well? What is our good news? Because that, you know, is an indication that the beautification and the illumination that the school offers is actually happening. And then we begin to focus on building on what's working and the glass half full, as opposed to I need continually to focus on healing, healing, healing only. And I also know that when we share what's going well, it builds himma for escaping our nafs. The nafs can be very sticky, so to speak. It's hard to just wake up one morning and say, I think today I'll get rid of my feelings of frustration or my feelings of inadequacy or my feelings of hopelessness. Nafs are very sticky, and so we do need to kind of focus on what's going right and build on that. So I will ask if anybody wants to share good news, successes from prior sessions before we get into today's actual work. And I'm going to actually start. I always consider myself a student as well as a teacher. And over the Thanksgiving holiday, I had an occasion with my family to spend a day and a half kind of together in one place. And, you know, one of the things that I struggle with is I struggle with superficial conversations. You know, in our unity building model, it might be known as pseudo community, the self and separation. I often disappear when it's conversations that I don't feel like are all that interesting or important. And that has sometimes defined my relationship with one of my son-in-laws, who is a very good human being. And he felt, he's been in our family for, I don't know, 10 or 15, some about 15 years probably now. And, you know, he always felt like he didn't know if he fit. And, you know, he probably had some validity with that perspective. My daughter loves him, and my daughter, they've been a great couple, and they have two wonderful grandchildren, but I've never developed a great relationship with him. And I had this moment where I had a choice of taking a 15-minute walk for myself while I was waiting for something, or spending a few minutes, the 15 minutes with him, is trying to have a more meaningful conversation, because it was just the two of us in this space. And the good news is I took 10 or 15 steps towards my walk before I realized, you know what, I'm missing the opportunity here. If I really want to have a deeper connection, I got to have that being my intention. I got to go, you know, see if I can talk, have a good talk with him. And so I turned around and we chatted, and it was probably the best 15 minutes of the whole Thanksgiving weekend for me. So it opened up possibilities for deeper connection as opposed to my judgments letting me disappear, so to speak. So that's my good news. And again, people, I hope the sharing of good news helps build all of our himma for escaping our nafs and illuminating our hearts. Who else has anything you want to share?
This is Kara Rachma.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to share, I'm trying to remember when this actually happened. I think it was about a week and a half ago. But I have a coworker who I work with a couple days a week, kind of in close proximity. And she's someone who I like her as a person, and we in some ways get along, but in some ways I found my relationship with her challenging. Like I can feel like it's challenging to connect with her energy and to always feel at ease with her. But over the past months, I've noticed like there's been small openings in that. But about a week or about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the healing work I've been learning, and she expressed interest in receiving a healing. And in the past, I had been very hesitant to offer it to her and to my coworkers, but in this situation, it just felt right, and we set up a time. And I ended up doing the healing with her, and I felt very nervous beforehand because I was worried about being able to connect and feeling self-conscious and giving the healing to her, and I had kind of worries like that. And the healing was so great. It was really wonderful to give to her, and I felt a lot of ease, and I felt a lot of like connection between the two of us. And I feel really grateful that I was able to take the step to kind of walk through those worries or doubts and offer that to her, even because I was quite nervous. And it's not that all of our challenges at Connection have totally dissipated since then, but the healing itself felt like a really true like hour of connection. So I'm really happy about that. Yeah.
And again, it shows how we have these little opportunities that if we take them, good things can happen. And if we don't take them, not so much. So time for one or two more. If anybody else has a positive experience from our prior sessions, any good news, any successes that you would share? To kind of open our hearts to the possibility that we have always a connection that's always available.
This is Noor.
Noor al-Huda.
That's okay. The other person can go. It's fine.
Okay. That was, I think, was Habiba.
Yes. Salaam alaikum. I just wanted to share that I don't know if I had mentioned, I think I had, that my father has been trying to move, like he's been wanting to move and not wanting to move for the last like 10 years. And a low-income senior apartment opened up here in Hagerstown. He's made it to the top of the list three different times and finally accepted it. He signed the lease. And Monday I went to pick up the keys and do the move-in and inspection. And we didn't realize that I would be getting the keys that day, but they gave me the keys. And I went back to him and I said, hey, here's your keys. And he said, you know, I'm not moving. I don't want to move. He started yelling at me like usual. And then Wednesday I had to take him to the doctor. And I said, you know, he's going to be moving. And he was just kind of listening, you know, you're moving. This is going to happen. And And then, you know, he already has the apartment, he's already paid for the apartment, he's already signed the lease, although he says he doesn't understand what he was doing. And then Saturday, my brother-in-law came with his truck, and my sister came with my nephew, and he started saying, like, things just started shifting through the week from I'm not moving. Well, Friday he was moving, then he wasn't moving Monday. It was just really interesting how the scenario went about. And then Saturday he's like, well, I kind of want to take this chair. Well, and take this chair too. Well, go ahead and put that sofa on there. And then Saturday afternoon, you know, by the grace of Allah, we're all sitting in his brand new apartment having a Thanksgiving dinner that my sister brought. You know, it was just, you know, suddenly he was back in bed at his house, you know, but, you know, it's a process. And I'm just like, alhamdulillah, because he has it. He seems like he's more accepting of it. And he even went out and got a haircut and a shave, which he looked like Santa Claus because he had this full white beard. And my dad doesn't have beards. My dad barely even had a mustache. So it's just, it's really interesting to me how this works. But alhamdulillah, you know, we're moving right along here, apparently. So thank you for letting me share. Alhamdulillah.
Moving a parent from where they love to live to somewhere they're not sure about is not an easy assignment. And I know about it firsthand. So alhamdulillah for you and your heart that was allowing that to kind of unfold. Nura Al-Huda, you had your, you want to do one more story?
Yeah. Sure. So I guess for me, it was a very solitary holiday. I had, my dad had announced that he was going to be visiting like a couple of months ago. And he was going to stay for 4 or 5 weeks with me. And so I thought Thanksgiving would be with him. So I never made any plans. And then he suddenly had to leave in 2 or 3 days because he had to take care of something back home. And so I had to arrange his ticket. And it was kind of a hoopla because I wasn't sure whether he should have been visiting at all because he booked the ticket without asking me. And I already had for part of the trip that I was going to be out of town. So he didn't expect me to alter my plans. He said, I'll just stay at your place by myself, which was reasonable. And so when I booked his ticket back and everything, I guess it was too close to the Thanksgiving holiday to get away anywhere because tickets had gone up. I couldn't even go back home to Chicago to be with my family. And so I decided to just kind of make lemonades out of lemons. And so I decided to do a silent halwa by myself for 2 days, 3 days. The intention was 3 days. I ended up doing it for 2 days. And before that, I had the opportunity to just give out a lot of healings to some of my old classmates. So I gave about 7 healings over a weekend. And then I had a silent halwa a few days after that. And so I think the message that I'm getting more and more right now is to go inward. I feel like there's something in me that's very, really, very sort of triggered, very easily, when I'm around people. It's never been like this bad. I don't know if it's because I'm weaning myself off of sugar addiction. I just cut out sugar cold turkey 6 weeks ago. But just also the fact that the way that things flowed with my father and him having to go back sooner and, you know, me speaking to him about his sort of erratic decision, because he kind of tends to go back and forth very quickly. And I told him a couple of days ago, I didn't want to guilt trip him, but I kind of told him, you know, like, listen, like you did this. And because of this, I was left with really no plans on short notice. And I want you to understand that I'm a single person. I don't have family and I need you to, you know, have a little bit more regard for my schedule. And he just couldn't take it and sort of lashed out at me and hung up on me. So we never had a conversation after that. But I did get the opportunity to speak to family, friends, and have their support in sitting down with him, because I think they all think that my dad just doesn't understand what he's doing is harmful to me. And so just in terms of how many expectations he has. So I feel very validated and seen by just my extended family and my family friends, because I have their support to have some sort of attempt at sitting down and reconciling, because they kind of understand that me talking to him is going to be futile. He needs to hear it from them. And they understand, they see that he's more receptive to feedback from people outside of the family than he is from within the nuclear family. So that part, I guess, has been a win. And I guess the fact that I got to do silent halwa and not sort of ruminate yes. on why I was left alone.
That's the part of your story that I think is really, really apropos here. People are unpredictable. People are all wounded themselves. They all carry their upsets in their hearts. And they can trigger us, and we can escalate the upset, the difficulty, the separation, or we can return to Allah. And when we choose to return to Allah and do our very best with the challenging dynamics, that is accelerating our path to Allah. And Sidi is very clear about what's possible in this lifetime, to die before we die, to really let to kill our nafs, to kill our ego, to let our ego really go until all we have is Allah's illuminated qualities in our hearts. A humongously tall order, but the best opportunity for us to be happy and joyful on this planet and this earth. And the good news is we have infinite opportunities to be triggered and return, or triggered and add fuel to the fire. That is a fundamental choice that we all face. And we have many, many chances, many, many. So that's all these stories are great testimony to the power of just simply noticing the upset and then returning to Allah and doing our best to bring our hearts to people who may or may not be treating us well in that moment. But they're hungry for love too. And the only chance they have of maybe experiencing love is if we know how to return our hearts to love and bring ourselves forward to them in a way that is intentionally trying to connect. So those are great stories, and that kind of is a great segue to, the lesson for today is to do a little deeper dive into those first two dynamics. The unity building model talks about pseudo community, the self and separation, silent separation, when we pretend there are no differences, and then the self in reaction. Scott Peck called it chaos, when the differences are out in the open in an unproductive way. And this is a lifelong journey for me. I am certainly not finished cleaning my nafs when it comes to judgments and cleaning out my counterproductive thought processes. Thankfully, I'm pretty good at keeping my mouth quiet so I don't say things that are harmful to others. But I am also very aware that my internal conversations, my internal thoughts are actually quite harmful to me when I'm letting them run amok. So I'll give you a few points, and then we'll do some process with remembrance about how we can use our session today to kind of continue our cleaning of our hearts that sometimes spend time in pseudo community or chaos or silent separation or reaction. What I notice is when I'm in judgment of others and I carry that judgment in my heart, it really constricts and reduces my experience of love and peace and wisdom. And my understanding is Allah's light and the beauty that comes from Allah, the love, the peace, the wisdom, is coming at us 24/7 all the time, trying to reach us, trying to open us. And it's also, it's almost like when I'm in judgment, I'm really kind of inadvertently saying, Allah, I can't handle any more light right now. I'm too busy being judgmental of my son-in-law or my daughter or whomever. And so it's like I'm constricting and I'm blocking the love that's trying to happen. And so those judgments can hurt me. Assalamu alaikum. If we could mute when we're not speaking, that would be good. There's background noise. Sounds like it's coming from Zainab's phone. Thank you. So that's the first thing. I know that I'm judgmental. And I carry those thoughts, when I carry those thoughts and my disregard for people that are in my life or disappointment for people in my life, I am holding out, constricting, I'm blocking Allah's love, peace, and wisdom. It's always trying to get into my heart. Second point I want to make is we label people. I know I do. So-and-so is uncommitted to this relationship. And when I think about it, I realize I'm putting a label on another human being. They're uncommitted. And when I think about that, I say, well, who in that very moment is uncommitted? I am. If I say you're not committed to our relationship, in that very moment, I'm declaring you wrong and there's nothing I can do about it because you're uncommitted. Since you're uncommitted, what am I going to do? Not much. And so therefore, I'm actually the one who's uncommitted in that moment. So I think when we label others in a negative way, we are actually an expression of that which we are labeling. And that's like, wow, I do that more than I want to admit. You know? And the other thing I would say that I've noticed over the years is when I carry these unresolved upsets, it affects my physical body. I've had, you know, physical symptoms show up from time to time when I haven't known how to release my upsets and work through my emotions. And I think that's kind of what Ibrahim has been teaching us all along, is that, you know, our illnesses stem from our pictures and our thought patterns and the beliefs that we carry that we're not even that we're for the most part not even aware of. So I kind of look at, well, whenever I'm sad or disappointed or I've lost hope or I'm fearful, my anxiety starts to rise, I worry, I get angry, I get frustrated, there's a little bitterness. All of those are potentially going to turn into, you know, aches and pains or physical symptoms, unless I'm aware of them and I quickly do my return to Allah with Tawbah and or asking Allah, what do I need to illuminate? What quality do I need to strengthen so that I can let go of that disappointment, or that frustration, or that anxiety? So I don't know if there's any questions about those three points that I've basically just laid out. That the judgments of others causes constriction. Labeling others is actually an expression of the label that we're putting on others happening in ourselves. And that when we are in the mode of unresolved upsets that we carry around for a while, they can actually turn into physical symptoms. Anybody have any questions about that before we do a process? Okay.
Habib, I had a question.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, because of this apartment change with my dad, it's a big shift for my son, who's used to just running around sometimes like a little banshee at my dad's, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. He could just basically do whatever he wants. In this senior apartment, you know, there's a lot of rules. It's run through the housing authority and the walls are pretty thin. And he's up on the 3rd floor. He has people underneath of him, people beside him. And because of moving him in, naturally we were a little loud. And, you know, of course, Johnny's there with his cousin that he hasn't seen in a while. So he's only 6. He's going a little, like, he's a little loud. And I found myself yelling at him because I was like, do you want Papa to lose his apartment? He's just moving in, you know, like the seriousness of this. And I felt like I was almost, I don't know, just like oppressing him because, like, this is, like, so such a big deal, you know? And I'm sure he was picking up on the fact that this is a big deal. And I know you said about doing Tauba when you go into judgment, and, like, do you have any recommendations for how to better handle that? You know, because we're going to be there quite a bit.
Yes. And I'm going to actually refer you to the process we're going to start next. It'll be perfect for you. I think you understand the emotion that you had that had you kind of yelling, Habiba, is probably fear. Something bad's going to happen if this noise continues. Ah, I'm afraid. Right? So that would be a perfect, you know, here's my recommendation is to do this process that we're going to do here in with remembrance. And you can use that example if you want, because I think it's apropos. So let's use our hearts. Let's open our hearts. Let's begin our remembrance quietly as I kind of ask you to walk through three different questions, but let's just start by connecting to the love and the mercy, the wisdom that is in our hearts all the time, waiting for us to tune into it. Quietly reciting the name of Allah. So the first question as we continue in remembrance is, what are you holding in your heart that is potentially hurting you and keeping yourself separate from Allah? What are you holding in your heart that is potentially hurting you and keeping you separate from Allah? You know, and it's good to identify, you know, that I have this upset. In Habiba's case, it sounded to me like there was some fear involved. What bad outcome might occur if the noise was too high. And that fear had her yelling. And when she's yelling, she's not aligned with Allah's guidance. So what are you holding in your heart that's potentially hurting you and keeping you separate from Allah? Just let Allah show you where Allah wants you to focus today. This is a process that you may want to do for a long, you know, many times on many issues. I work with it all the time for myself. So don't worry about choosing the wrong topic, because you can use this again and again and again. What are you holding in your heart that is potentially hurting you and keeping you separate from Allah? And the second step, after you've got that identified, is to return, Tauba. Do you have a need for forgiving someone else? Do you have a need to ask forgiveness of Allah? Can you forgive yourself for being human? So however you return to Allah with this topic, return, because Allah loves us when we return. Allah loves us even more when we return. So the question on number two is, can I return and walk through this upset in asking for forgiveness and bowing my head to my own humanity and Allah's never-ending love for us when we return after our mistakes, after what we carry, when we identify that we're carrying something that is potentially hurting ourselves and others. So just spend a few minutes with Tauba, asking to be forgiven, asking or finding the way to forgive. So our first question was, what's hurting us? What are we carrying that's potentially hurting us? The second question is, can I return to Allah and Tauba for the forgiveness in any direction? Trusting that Allah loves us more when we return. And then the third question, again, a very simple, straightforward process. What is Allah asking of you? What's the quality that Allah wants you to strengthen? The 99 qualities, the infinite qualities of Allah are already in our hearts, waiting to be illuminated, waiting to be sprouted. They're like seeds waiting to pop up as flowers. We have to cultivate them. We have to develop them. We have to allow them to grow in our hearts when we need them. This is the part about beautification and illumination. What is Allah asking of me? Is it to be stronger? Is it to be more patient? And there's no one answer. There's many answers. So just listen for what Allah shows you. And I guess there's a fourth step. If we find guidance about what is Allah asking of me, can I say yes to it? Can I move in the direction of the guidance I'm receiving? Can I take action based on the guidance? Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah. Allah, Allah. So the fundamental principle of these four steps is that we need to take our attention off of what other people are doing that's troubling. Take our attention away from what others are doing. And put our attention on what am I doing to myself? What am I holding in my heart that's potentially hurtful to me and others? Since I'm holding that in my heart, I need to do tawbah and return to Allah and find forgiveness for myself or others. And then I need to ask Allah for help, guidance, clarity about what am I being asked to strengthen or do in this situation. And once I receive the guidance, can I accept it and move forward with it? And I think our journey, our walking in the world as Sufis, has infinite opportunities to do these four steps. We can practice this many times in a day. And it is the straight path to being the illuminated, beautified beloveds that Sidi in his books invites us to become and to die before we die. To be the knowers of Allah. So Habiba's question earlier was a perfect segue, because all these situations can be resolved, inshallah, through these four questions. In our heart's guidance, it comes through these four questions. So when you're ready, I'm going to ask you to take a moment to write down anything you want to capture for yourself that came from these four questions. And then we'll see, we'll have half an hour or so for Q&A about practical application. If any of you have questions about practical application, about what you received, or maybe in this short 15 minutes, you have more work to do before you really have clarity. But the good news in this practice, in this path, is that we have a practice, we have practices that help us through everything. Everything. But we have the power to turn our hearts away from our judgments and our whatever we're holding in our hearts that is painful to ourselves and others, then returning to Allah every time, 24/7. That's the beauty of this path. Help is always there. So take a moment and write down any notes you have, and then we'll see what Q&A, practical application questions we have, or sharing what you discovered in this exercise as well. I'd love to hear those if you have some stuff. Okay, if you're needing to continue writing, please continue to write. And we now, like I said, have a half an hour for your sharing of what came to you this in this practice, in this process, exercise, and or ask questions about how to work with this set of four questions. And this is personally my favorite part of the class of always when we have an exchange.
Someone was wondering if you can repeat the four questions.
Yeah. First question is, what are you holding in your heart that is potentially hurting you, keeping you separate from Allah? Second question is about Tawbah. Can you forgive yourself? Can you forgive them? Can you ask forgiveness from Allah? Because Allah loves us for returning. Third question is, what is Allah asking of you? Maybe what quality is trying to become stronger? And the fourth question is, can I accept this guidance and take action? Action that's consistent with the guidance, obviously. Okay, who wants to share what came to you or what question you might have about practical application?
I was guided to work with Al Jamia. Uh-huh. And in terms of the guidance, like, I feel like I'm getting to reach out to certain people and bring a group of women together. But I'm also feeling like I have such low frustration tolerance with people right now that I just don't feel like I'm strong enough to do that. I'm very easily irritated right now by people's shortcomings, way more than I've ever been. It's unusual. It's almost like I've regressed like 10 years back in my walking or something.
Mm-hmm. So take those two pieces of input. You got two pieces of input there. Gather people together. Get a group of women together. And my tolerance is actually at a lower spot than it has been. What do you think Allah wants you to make with those two pieces of information? See what Allah says.
I feel like I can't even let Allah's voice in right now because I'm so frustrated that I've regressed in my tolerance. I'm so disappointed and upset that, yeah.
This is how the process works. Thanks for sharing that. Because you have to rinse and repeat over and over again. It's not a one-time process. You know, you have to go back. Okay, now I'm disappointed in myself. And of course, that's another thing I'm holding in my heart that's keeping me separate from Allah. So now I have to start up at the top again with my disappointment. I have to stop for Allah for that and see if Allah will forgive me for being, you know, a human being and where I'm at. And then once I do, okay, now Allah, now you've forgiven me for my disappointment. What are you asking me to do? And you repeat this over and over and over again until you feel like you're free to follow the guidance of Allah and experience a deeper sense of community, a unity, your community with these women and or unity with Allah and or all of the above. So it's like, that's one of the things that I noticed that our whole tariqa does. We get guidance and then we go, yeah, but. And then we don't take that yeah button, get more guidance.
I know that sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say a recurring image that I've been carrying with me since my halwa is, I felt like this like large, like 7-inch jagged stone was in my heart that was taken out. And it was like floating almost like 4 or 5 inches outside of my chest. It'd been taken out of the heart and now it was out there. And it's still sort of there floating. And the instruction is to tie that stone to my stomach instead, in the way that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, used to tie a stone to his stomach to curb his appetite when he had hunger pains. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like instead of letting the hunger pains harden his heart, he tied it to his stomach to curb the hunger pain.
Okay.
That's my interpretation of it. I don't know how to apply it exactly, the interpretation to my situation. I don't know if you have any insight.
Well, of course I'm not going to try to interpret your guidance. That wouldn't be appropriate for me, but I can just say, stay with the guidance, continue to ask, you know, and when we get guidance, we try it out and we see it. How does that feel? Does it work? Does it help? And until we find relief, we got to keep going back for more guidance. Does that make sense?
It does. It's just one of these, this is like such a tricky veil for me. I'm just very stuck these past 6 weeks. I guess I have to just sit in remembrance. That's all I can do right now.
Feel the discomfort of your disappointment or whatever this thing is at the rock. Feel it and ask for help and pray. And then ask for, you know, what are you asking of me, Allah? What do you want me to do about this right now? How can I come closer to you? What practice, what quality, what help me understand how to be with this so that I can walk closer to you? And then whatever you get, keep trying it out. And then if it's still something that you need that is causing you discomfort or separation, you just go back to the top of the list and keep doing, repeating. And then be grateful that Allah gives you all of this to bring you closer. It's one of the parts that I forget sometimes. Oh, this ache in my neck that's hurting me is actually for me. It's actually helping me be more conscious and more committed to my devotion to proximity. Okay, I'm glad I have this ache in my neck now. Thank you, Allah, for giving it to me so that I can find you more deeply. Anybody else with a share or a question? I'm sure you have some.
Assalamu alaikum.
Mm-hmm.
This is Noura. I'm on Rahma's phone.
Okay.
And the thing I was noticing is a couple frustrations came up for me with people feeling like people think they know what I want and what I need
mm-hmm.
more than I know for myself.
Okay.
And so I can also feel where that's true, where I think I know better what somebody else needs
mm-hmm.
And what's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brought me to Tawbah for thinking that I know better than Allah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And I think I've been working a lot with the quality Al-Malik and how that feels like good in my heart is handing over the reins to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in the exercise, I felt aware of where I'm not handing over the reins.
Yes, beautiful.
By thinking that I know.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else wanting to share? Unmute if you do. Again, as we share, we build community within our group. We build connections within our group by sharing. And we strengthen our himma for all of our walking when we're openly sharing our own journeys and asking our own questions. They are for everyone.
This is Rahma on my phone. the thing I was noticing in my heart is I was thinking about a situation with my beloved in which, from my perspective, some other people were like putting him down. Or just like treating him in a way that I was noticing I had a lot of judgment about. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing some tauba and just trying to look deeper into like why that was so triggering for me. Because mm-hmm. I think the like most obvious level of it is just like a protective level of like, I don't want people to make him feel bad. And I can see that it's painful for his heart and it just made me angry. And looking a bit deeper into it, it also just showed me that it's like a lot about control for me, like wanting to control the actions of other people. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like in this situation, I wasn't even like present for the things I was hearing about. So in terms of like feeling into the situation, it even felt difficult. Like, I don't really know what was going on for those people and why they were acting the way that they did. And I just noticed that even like from afar, I wanted to have control over that. Mm-hmm. These situations. Mm-hmm. So I did some tauba for like just like wanting to have control and
mm-hmm. Good.
And the qualities that seemed to come for this were Latif and Sabur. Mm-hmm. I think Sabur is patience, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah, so those were the qualities, like, I mean, they seemed to resonate just, like, thinking about them a little bit. I was thinking, like, these are situations where I really have no idea what's at play for these other people.
Right.
And I don't know what the walking is for my beloved in this. Like, I don't know what Allah is making for him and, like, how that's playing out in his heart. It's just like my perception of it is that it's hurtful. Yeah. And that it's making things difficult. It's like other people making things difficult for him. Uh-huh. And I guess like Latif and Sabur feel good in the sense that they might help me to just like have room for my feelings about it and room for like there being other outcomes or other possibilities of what's really at work. So that's kind of like where I'm at with it right now.
I might suggest is you've identified that your tendency is to want to control and protect, and you're being shown patience. And what else might Allah want you to provide your brother that's not controlling or protecting him?
Sorry, can you say that one more time? I couldn't hear exactly what you said.
Your guidance is to be patient with him instead of control, wanting to control and protect him, right? And so what else might your brother need from you, or what else might Allah be guiding you to provide him that's not controlling or protecting, as well as the patience?
I mean, it seemed like in what seemed to come was just like basically like listening and just being open to hearing his perspective might be more helpful.
For sure.
Being like available basically to like listen and to receive, but not to have like a reaction. Or maybe if I do have a reaction, it's like it doesn't need to be, I don't need to give him my reaction. Like I can keep that for me and Allah.
You can work your own reaction out and then be willing to love and listen, you know, in a loving way, listening and caring about him.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Good example. Thank you. We have time for two or three more. And as we each share, we're all walking more deeply as we kind of listen and learn how to return to Allah through these upsetting group dynamics.
I just wanted to share, this is Rahima, that to me it was a very powerful reminder to constantly clean our judgment. Because in that we're like killing our nafs.
Mm-hmm.
And in really killing our nafs, we're really changing ourselves while Allah is changing ourselves. Yeah. So at the beginning, you know, like taking the first step and not being judgmental and, I just was reminded how powerful that is, even though at the beginning the nafs, my nafs were, might not be very happy about having to change, you know, like what I'm putting out there.
No, thank you, Rahima. So, if there are no other sharing, I will kind of bring it to a close, potentially 15 minutes early or so, 10 or 15 minutes early, unless there's more folks that want to share. Then we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm in a coffee shop, so it's quite loud. I'll try and move away from, but if it's too disturbing, then just tell me and I can share another time.
We'll try it.
Is that okay?
Yeah, try it.
Okay. So I feel like there's two things that I can share about. One is something that happened last week, and I think I'm not yet sure what the guidance is. And the other thing is something that's kind of still happening, and I still, again, not really sure what the guidance is. Maybe I'll share what's going on right now, just because it felt very relevant once when Rahma was sharing about control and so at the moment there's something going on in the family. There's some upset between two family members, and I was very aware of myself wanting to control and wanting to kind of make things right and kind of come out as the hero. you know, that like brought people together and made things right. And it was very like ego based.
Yeah, I know that one.
But at the same time, there was a genuine wish for there to be reconciliation and love, because obviously that's more beautiful and it's nicer to be around and everyone's happier. So it's not, I guess you could say that's selfish too, but it was also a genuine, it also had that in there as well.
Yes.
But I think I'm not quite sure what to do with that, because it's just a very ugly quality. And I feel my anger rising the more I get frustrated with how people aren't doing what I think is the best thing to do.
Right.
Like they're not dealing with the situation in what I think is a healthy way or a way to move forward, and they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot, and I get so irritated and annoyed and so I'm still kind of in the thick of it, and I am noticing these things coming up and very trying good. Not to get sucked in, but yeah, I just wondered if there's any.
That's the work. You're in the work, Zainab. It's the work. The work is to notice that you're upset, judgmental, wishing they were different, wanting them to make better decisions. Again, I know this firsthand, my own family dynamics. And all I can say is keep praying and asking for help to let yourself be first and foremost with Allah and with the love of Allah, so that you can bring a pure, clean heart to these people who you are upset with and judgmental of.
Mm.
Other than that, there's, you know, that's the work right now. You can't help, you cannot really help them from a place of frustration.
Yeah.
It only hurts you to add fuel to your fire. You know, that you're putting fuel in your fire.
Yeah.
And so it's what Allah is showing you is there's some cleaning in your heart that's needed before you can be of service.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Astaghfirullah.
Mm-hmm. Astaghfirullah, indeed. Thank God for Astaghfirullah. You can never get enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, even in a phone, in a coffee shop.
Yeah, sorry. It's not ideal.
All right.
Thank you.
So one of the things I say in a business meeting is, and I say it here as well, is any time you gather people together in any kind of a meeting like this, even a teaching meeting, what's the most important outcome is dependent upon what happens after the meeting. When you get together and you learn something, or you speak about something, or you make some decisions, or you have new awarenesses from sharing and talking with one another, the actions after the meeting are really the determinant of, did this make any difference? Did this conversation do anything to move us in a more positive direction, whether it's business or healing? And so I will encourage you to take these four questions and work with them steadily. Forever. I don't think I'm going to ever be done with these four questions. And to kind of continue to, you know, use every single day, all the, you know, use your day as you know, you're not in school only when you're with the class or on a Zoom session or, you know, in person with each other. We're in school every day. The school of life, the school of upset. The school of family dynamics or business dynamics. So I'm just going to continue to challenge you to take what we've talked about. It's simple, it's straightforward, it's easy, but it's not easy, and it will help. And then to get credit for the class, these three sessions, what I'm asking is for a half a page or even a whole page, but you don't need to write more than a whole page, and a half a page will be fine if you give a clear description of what you learned, what you tried, how you found, how it benefited you, and what you're gonna do with it going forward. What did I learn? What did I try, how did I try to apply it? What did I accomplish, number three? And then what will I do with it going forward? I will post those questions on your Google Classroom, but I do want to have some input regarding when do you want this paper to be due? And you know, you have, as the school functions, you have until your end of your school year, to get the credit for all your classes. And then I think even after that, this it's still possible. People turn stuff in late all the time. I'm not recommending that. I'm recommending that you get, if you want credit for the class, my sense is if you give people 2 weeks to do it, you're going to get more response than if you give them 2 months. So I'm in favor of a short and sweet, turnaround time so we can complete this and you can move on. And that's my recommendation, but I want your input. What do you think is a good amount of time? I mean, we could do it by the end of the year. We could, 2 weeks. You could have 2 months if you wanted. I won't stop the class from asking for more time. But my thought is, if I put my heart into it, I can get it done sooner than if I just let it lay till it's one of the many undone things on my list. So.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Nora.
Yeah.
I way prefer 2 weeks than 2 months or the year. I think it helps us to do it closer to the class.
That's what I agree. I agree. And let's see if others will support that or want to challenge that. It's okay.
Agreed.
Okay. Two people saying yes, and I see one nodding.
I agree.
Unless I hear a paramount of
objection. I agree.
Okay, we got enough momentum for 2 weeks. And again, it doesn't have to be long. Short and sweet. I like short and sweet. I think there's the old saying of, I forget who said this, but I think it's very wise. I didn't have time to write you a short letter, so I wrote you a long letter. If you get the gist, it takes more time to write, be concise and to the point and clear than it does to ramble on. So take some time, get to the point of these questions and keep it short and sweet to a half a page. Or a page if that's more meaningful for you. I'll read them all that come in and look forward to working with you down the road in the future, inshallah, as our paths continue to cross. Any questions about that? I don't hear any questions. Rahima, anything you want to add?
Not at the moment, thank you.
Okay. As always, I like to learn from my work with others to kind of improve it. You can talk about just tonight or today or whatever, it's this morning in Portland anyway. You can talk about today, you can talk about all three sessions. What I'd love to hear is what was most valuable and how I might improve my teaching. How might I improve future classes of this nature? Anybody want to share what value you got out of all this, and or what was most valuable, and or what we can do to improve?
Hi, Hamid. It's Radia.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. What I found most helpful is just that things were pretty clear and simple, and just so you could do it. Mm-hmm. And just the clarification of things that can often get in my mind jumbled, mm-hmm. The breakdown, the compartmentalizing helped a lot. And so thank you for all that. I appreciate that. And for like a way that it could be improved, I think on a professional note, just knowing that you're a good businessman, that I feel like I would love to know how to take these teachings out of relationship and into business, you know, moving blockages that keep us from business. And I think, you know, we can apply it on our own, but it would be an interesting exercise in that, you know, like, so for example, like in UMass, you know, when you go to school there now, which I think is brilliant, like if you're in business, you leave there with a business model, like something functioning, you know what I mean? And so I think a lot of us, when we study, we get done studying and we're like, okay. And so you have that gold there, which I would love if you taught that too. I mean, I guess it all applies, but to break it down with you would be awesome.
Okay, it does apply everywhere in any environment, but you're right. Okay, I hear that. Thank you for that. On how to incorporate more of maybe my business experience into some of the examples or something like that.
That would be awesome. Okay, thank you.
That's great. Thank you. Good input. Others? If anybody's speaking, you're on mute. So if you need to speak, Rachma, you want to speak?
Yes, thank you. I especially enjoyed your clearly stated commitment to practical application. And I think it's easy to get all up in the ethers, and I really, really appreciated the practical application from you. I also today really appreciated your reminder that, oh, this isn't something you do once and then you're done. You do the, I liked when you said rinse and repeat. I was like, oh, okay, good. and I liked how I didn't share anything because I didn't know what my guidance was, but so did some other people didn't know what their guidance was. So your acceptance of where you are, I think that's also really practical and very comforting. And I don't know what to say to suggest anything, an improvement. So I'll just be, if I think of one, I would tell you.
Molly, send me an email.
Sure.
Anybody else before we close with the Fatiha?
Hamid, there's just a couple of questions about the due date. So the question is if it's okay if they submit their homework after the due date.
Of course.
And the other one, alhamdulillah, is if your handouts are already on Google Classroom, in Google Classroom.
Yes.
And if the handouts are regarding these classes, the ones that are uploaded in Google Classroom.
I think they're already there. The ones that I've used so far in the first 2 years and this third year. Yeah, I think they're all there. When I put the assignment on, I'll double check that or triple check that. But I'll put the 2 weeks out, you know, I'll post this either today or tomorrow. And so it'll be 2 weeks from either today or tomorrow. And if you need to have more time, obviously we take people as they are, not as we want them to be.
I have one quick question.
Sure.
For all these, I guess, classes that we've had with you, were there any handouts we were supposed to be referring to? I apologize, I'm a little behind in the Google Classroom. Yeah. Initiation.
Yeah, there's a couple of handouts that I use for the cycle of struggle and, you know, the returning. We call it walking in the world as a Sufi in the Sufi language, and then the business version of it that I use with my Lionheart clients is called transformational problem solving, and that's kind of to manage our own nafs, so to speak, or to return to our connection to Allah when we get troubled, and then. The second phase of the work is then how do I do all that in a group dynamics? And so I posted it's a chapter from my Building Unity book that highlights the four phases of group dynamics that I read out loud the first two sessions. I didn't read them out loud today. And that's posted on the website too. So I'm not on the Google Classroom. As you can tell, I'm not very technologically savvy.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. I wanted to also say I just enjoyed when you shared about your vulnerability with your son-in-law. And the fact that you're a man, I know that there's no separation between men and women, you know, but there's still the fact that you are a man. And for you to share that and be very open, very vulnerable, talk about connectivity, you know, for the group. I have a lot of trust issues with men, and it was very, you know, I really enjoyed your sharing and your, you know, because it seemed very personal, and I really respect that about you, that you put it out there. You did the same thing at the farm, and I enjoy that part of what you do. Thank you so much for sharing.
What I've learned is that Allah has taught me many, many important lessons, most often the hard way. So, and if I don't, you know, take those lessons as my journey and don't share them, then, you know, other people can't learn from their own, you know, challenges. So I appreciate your catching that, Habiba. That's an important part of what I think we need as teachers, to be humble and part of the journey, part of the class, so to speak. Okay. Last call for questions or comments. Then I'm going to do the Fatiha. Adabalah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmani r-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amen. Oh Allah, continue to open our hearts. Help us find our way back to you when we are troubled. Help us return again and again and again until we're strong enough to be of service in your world, to bring your light, your love, your peace, your wisdom to those around us who are hungry for it. Amen. Amen.